Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and yesterday we heard the beginning of a fascinating story featuring the journey of Dr. Christopher Yuan and his mom, Angela. Christopher knew from a very young age that he was different and soon found himself attracted to men. His mom also recognized the desire in her son and tried to do everything she could to help him, which included visiting the Church of Scientology in San Francisco, where Angela spent over $20,000 trying to cure her son. And that's where we're going to pick up the story today. So here now is Dr. Christopher Yuan and his mom, Angela Yuan, co-host Dr. Meg Meeker and myself for part two of Out of a Far Country on this edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. So, we left off the story yesterday on a cliffhanger where you've gone to San Francisco, of all places, for 6 weeks to, quote unquote, be cured of your homosexuality. And so for you, it was helpful. At least you felt it was helpful. And you came back with hope?
Yeah. I mean, I thought. And so I thought, okay, that's over. We'll kind of move forward.
Did they talk about pornography in that at all?
Not really. You know, it was... I don't know how to describe it. I don't even know. You know, when people ask, what did you do? I don't know. We just talked and we held these two cans and it was a little strange.
Yeah. We know so much more about Scientology today.
Yes.
That I think our general audience gets the picture.
So it was different. Mm-hmm. I'll just leave it at that. Very different. But, you know, it was all with the hope that, you know, oh, yeah, we can beat this. We can cure you. Just give us your money and we'll be good. So. Yeah. So Mattelli said we went home and I thought, okay, we got this beat to it. We got this. And so it was okay for a couple years, through high school and then started college. I mean, even senior year in high school, I actually, you know, kind of dated a girl toward the end of the school year. Mm-hmm. I actually had a prom date of all things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, her and her parents then moved to Spain. So that, you know, in a sense, I felt like I that was kind of my hope. She was gone, went off to college, and I kind of had met another girl there. She was a figure skater, really neat girl, real pretty, and went off to the Marine Corps. And then
you joined the Marines?
I did, yeah.
So how long into college did you join the Marines?
Actually, I joined the Marines right after high school. That's a little story that we didn't include in the book. I crashed my parents' car at the end of my senior year.
Okay.
So my I had always thought, wow, the military, that seems kind of neat. You know, I can maybe find my manhood there. You know, especially if I'm going to do the military, I want to do the best. So I wanted to be a Marine, you know, the few, the proud, looking for a few good men. So I was like, I want to be a man and find my manhood. So I thought I'll, you know, join the Marines and, you know, Asians, you don't join the Marine Corps. You go to college. You after college, and then you get your doctorate. You don't join the military. So
your family wasn't too thrilled about the Marine Corps?
No, they you know, that's not even a possibility. So, well, yeah. I crashed my parents' car. Then my mom was like, okay, you're going to the Marine Corps.
Okay. To get a fix.
Right, to fix him.
Need a little discipline, a little structure in your life.
Right.
Yeah. And,
original tiger mom.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. Right. Very much so.
Yeah. You didn't want to go back to Scientology. That wasn't the solution this time around.
Right. Didn't have another $20,000.
It was free to go to the Marine Corps.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Okay. They'll actually give you some money. And yeah. So, you know, if my mom was like, okay, if he's not going to listen to me, if I can't discipline him, let the Marines do that. Mm-hmm. So I actually enlisted before college. I knew I was going to go for boot camp after one semester, which would mean then I would become a PFC, you know, because of that. So I did that, came back, and I got kind of a Dear John letter while I was in boot camp from this girl that I was sort of, you know, dating. She went back to her old boyfriend. And so then, you know, I always felt like I was kind of like being dumped and, you know, wasn't good for my own self-confidence.
Sure.
And then, you know, I was like, okay, well, if this isn't working, well, then, you know, maybe I am gay. And so
the doubts all come back.
Yeah. So I started secretly going out to the gay clubs. Mm-hmm. I got accepted to dental school on the condition that I would go another semester. So I was accepted to dental school after three semesters of undergrad. Mm. And so I moved back home to finish one more semester and to do a bunch of kind of pre-med courses. And that's when I started secretly going out to the gay bars in Chicago and Boys Town.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then it just, spiral down quickly, or?
You know, because I was living at home, I wasn't able to just be completely out. And so I
so
was,
you hadn't come out to your parents and just said,
not
hey,
at all.
Sorry, this is
because,
how it is.
You know, even then I was still hoping, okay, this is just a phase. I'm only, you know, 18, 19, 20.
Again, secrecy, sexuality.
You know, and I, so I wasn't 21 able to get in, but I used my brother's ID to get into the gay clubs, and still hoping that this was just a phase. Well, then my dental school, so I started dental school, still kind of doing the secret thing. Dental school closed, then moved to Louisville, Kentucky, where I continued doing my doctorate in dentistry, and that was when I finally just came out of the closet. I felt, okay, the apron strings have been cut.
Yeah.
I'm no longer at home, and I could do whatever I want to do. And I think this is who I am. This isn't something that's a phase anymore. This is who I am.
Yeah.
Christopher, walk us through that, if you would. Going and to your mom and your dad and presumably your brother as well and telling them, I've embraced my homosexuality. This is who I am. What was that like?
Well, you know, it was in 1992 that I started at in Louisville, Kentucky, at University of Louisville, in their School of Dentistry. So I came out of the closet then, and so it was that whole year that I probably came out sometime in the late fall of that year, or maybe even mid-fall. So I was out of the closet. Honestly, I often say this, that when I came out of the closet and began—
Not to us yet.
Right, so I came out of the closet just kind of to my classmates in Louisville, so not to my parents yet.
Yeah. Okay.
The people in the gay community were so accepting.
Yeah, I was going to say, and your friends completely accept you.
Completely
accepted. Open arms, 100%, we're here for you.
It doesn't matter anything. And I look at that and I think, that is what the church ought to be.
Exactly.
You know,
yep.
You know, that's what Christian community needs to be. It doesn't matter what you are, what you've done in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And the distinction, though, is that we don't want to leave you where you're at. God wants so much more from you, you know. And so I think there are things that we can learn from the gay community that—
Well, let me interject.
Yeah.
The truth is the gay community wanted things for you too. They wanted you to change, to embrace this homosexuality and to come out to people and to stand up for who they say and you say you are at that point. They don't want you just to stay the same and be neutral.
Right.
They want you to further yourself into this lifestyle the same way a Christian or a church would want you to distance yourself from a lifestyle.
Yeah.
And yet we've got to figure out a way to embrace people who are struggling because all of us are struggling with something.
We all are,
yeah.
And I think that such a core of this is identity. As Christians, I think we often focus so much on the morality issue, and yet how would the morality make sense if they don't get the identity right?
Yeah,
exactly.
You know, and so I encourage Christians not to say that the morality issue is not important or that we're not right or whatever.
Neither of us are saying that churches should embrace homosexuality.
No, but I think that if we approach with the morality issue, how is that then different than legalism in a sense? I mean,
exactly.
So why do we follow God's law? Not because we have to, no, because we want to, because that's part of who we are. We are followers of Jesus. So I think that if we get the identity part right first, because there's power in our words. When we say, I am gay, there's power in that. That verb is a being verb, and that it's almost like putting an equal sign, that whoever you are is equated to what you're saying. You know, I am gay. And so if this is who I am, well, then of course I'm going to celebrate it. I want to celebrate me. You know, just as we say, I am a follower of Christ, well, that means I want to share about Jesus. And sharing Jesus would actually be helping others. So in the same way, and I'm not justifying this or I'm not saying that I agree with this anymore, but I think this helps explain why our neighbors and our friends in the gay community are advocating so strongly for gay issues. And it's not so much that, okay, we want to kind of pollute because they're so bad or wicked. No, it's basically if this is who they are and people in the gay community do believe that, then of course I actually would be helping society by educating people on the gay culture. For example, I'm Chinese. So if I help educate others on Chinese culture, that actually would be benefiting society. You know, and so, and I'm not at all making the same connection that sexuality and race that are the same. But those outside a Christian worldview do believe that. Why? Because sexuality has become an identity. And I think that's where, as Christians, if we can communicate better what a Christian identity, what it means to have our identity in Christ, I think that will have powerful implications in how we communicate on the issue of sexuality.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that I see, Christopher, too, is as a pediatrician, I see a number of young men and women, girls and boys in the high school coming in and talking about, I'm gay, I'm straight, I'm bi, I'm whatever. And I sense that they feel a pressure to rubber stamp themselves. And I wonder if part of what doesn't play into this is our culture is so hypersexualized that in addition to the child sort of needing to figure out who they are as a person, that rubber stamping yourself as something bi, straight, or heterosexual, it's almost like their rubber stamp regarding their sexuality trumps their identity as a human being.
Yeah, it does. It becomes such a big part of who you are because our culture is talking about it so much that people are reminded of it everywhere you turn on the television, you know, and the news, in the classroom. Yeah, sexuality has become so much more than I think it ought to be. I mean, and I think, unfortunately, if we look in psychology, I mean, Freud and Kinsey, I mean, if you do not experiment, then you will result in some type of psychosis.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
And you know, Kinsey was just
That's very,
bananas.
Very twisted.
Right. And yeah, probably pretty reasonable non-Christian would also maybe agree that Kinsey is a little bit out there. But their teachings have so influenced our culture where people would totally agree. You should not suppress your sexuality. You need to experiment. You need to check it out. You need to, feel things out with where you're at, because if you don't, then you could be sick.
Yeah. Well, it's crazy too, because society is telling kids this.
Yes.
Which that's the last
thing
kids should be experimenting with.
Yeah.
Small children. Yeah.
Right.
Angela, I got to bring you back into this. What was it like when Christopher came home and just said, "Sorry, this is who I am"? What was that like for you as a mom?
Yeah, I right away I just thought, well, he's not thinking right. You know, he's out of himself. So I still feel I can fix him.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to give him an ultimatum.
You gave him an ultimatum?
I gave him an ultimatum.
Which was?
Either you're going to choose the family or choose homosexuality.
Oh.
I feel like, just don't do it.
Yeah.
Just easy like that. That's not right. That's not acceptable. And especially you're going to be a dentist. That's just cannot mix. You cannot be a homosexual and a dentist.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the years. We don't have all those homosexual rights or gay parades.
Especially that was around the time when, you remember the dentist in Florida?
Yeah.
With the, he was HIV positive and then he infected other people.
Yes,
so,
in the 90s.
Mm-hmm. Yes, in the 90s. So then you can't be a dentist.
Right.
And do this.
Yeah.
So that was, my mom.
So you were concerned for him personally and professionally.
Professionally.
Yeah.
He's the future.
And Christopher, what was it like? Because you've got people at school and you've got, a support system around you that are cheering you on, and you go home and your mom's like, sorry,
right,
family or this.
And also, my good friends, I would hear their horror stories when they came out to their parents.
Yeah.
So it was kind of, okay, your parents aren't going to understand.
They're going to kick you out.
They're going to kick you out. So
Were you kind of ready for that?
Oh, yeah.
Were you were hoping for the best, but still thought this is probably going to go pretty poorly?
I was hoping for the best, and the best would be that they kicked me out.
Really?
Well, because if they did, well, then I have complete freedom.
The decision's been made for
you. And they're the ones that kicked me out.
Wow.
You don't have to make a decision.
I don't.
Mm-hmm.
And he already feel like he had a family.
Right.
Right.
And what's so interesting, one subtle thing that I realized is that people in the gay community talk about each other as a family.
Oh.
What's that song? We Are Family.
Yeah.
That was kind of like the anthem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so we would, even like if there's a new person that we see, is he family or is she family? And it's so subtle. And I didn't catch that until now. But the enemy, what does he want to do? He wants to seek, kill, and destroy.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes it's this nuclear family that he does. And how do you do that if you just replace it? And so it's not my parents And my brother, that's my family. No, it's my friends. Right. And I even called them family.
Yeah.
So, you know, I had that support group, and I thought they totally understand me. They will not reject me. And so I actually kind of played that into reality.
Mm-hmm. Little self-fulfilling prophecy kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Angela, looking back, do you regret the ultimatum, or do you think you were making the right choice then?
I do regret.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, I know now how Satan wants to destroy the family. And if I give him the ultimatum to choose one or the other, which means it's a conditional.
Yeah. You know,
it's not what we have received from Jesus Christ, that unconditional love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in a way, I kind of push him, you know, out of the family and to the world. You know, so, I just wish other parents don't do what I did.
So how would you handle it today, Angela?
I would just accept what my son as a person, you know, even though I would say I will walk alongside you. You know, doesn't matter what your struggle, we all struggle something, you know. Mm-hmm. So you would just accept him, but let him know that it's not right.
Mm-hmm.
But I will walk, and Dad will walk with you to go through this this journey.
I think it's important to, you know, for parents as their kids might share this with them, whether they say, well, I'm struggling with this and I don't want to pursue gay relationships. I want to pursue living faithful to God.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they just do say, I am gay, there's nothing wrong with gay relationships. I think it's always important, first and foremost, as a parent, just say, I love you.
Yeah.
No matter what.
And you can love your child while not accepting certain behavior.
Right.
We had a program on earlier in the year of some friends of ours who their son was doing drugs and living a tough lifestyle. And they said, if you want to live in our house, you can't do these things.
Right. Yeah.
And he chose those things over living in the house. Now, they weren't saying we reject you.
Right.
That's right.
It was we love you.
Right. And that's why.
If you're going to be here, you can't. Mm-hmm. Come home drunk and you can't do drugs and you can't do those things. So there is a medium ground of loving a child while not accepting certain behavior.
Right, right. Yeah. One thing that I say is unconditional love is not the same thing as unconditional approval of my behavior.
Yeah.
So I think that's really key that parents, we need to see that. Sometimes, you know, love is tough love, right? I mean, the Bible, you know, says God chastises those whom he loves.
Yeah.
And, and yet the world defines love to be do whatever you want, don't judge me, don't tell me what to do. That's what love means. And yet that's, as Christians, we should not fall into that. So
yeah.
I think, you know, we need to tell our children, I love you no matter what.
And, yeah, that was one of the most common responses we got online is, how do I love my friend while not accepting behavior? Mm-hmm. And we're going to get into some of that in day three. Meg?
The tricky part is, and you know, this is one of the things that I struggle with is, when you're talking to a 17 or 18 or 16-year-old young man and you say, sure. I love you, I want to help you, I accept you, and then you say, but I don't accept this behavior, what they hear is, you don't accept me and you really don't love me because you can never participate in the joy that I feel, which is this relationship with this man.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really hard for a kid. I think as adults, we can say, I love you, but I don't like your behavior. But to a kid, it feels like you're saying one and the same thing. And I actually saw this played out in a home where the family was Christian, strong faith. And the young man felt so despondent in his 20s that his parents and his siblings could never embrace his partner that he tried to commit suicide. And I hurt because these parents really showed this young man a lot of love. And it's like you said earlier, Christopher, you know, there's a fine balance between grace and truth. And how do you do that? How do you live that out with a child?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which I consider 18-year-old boys.
Yeah.
Still developmental.
Oh, yeah. You know, I think maybe because I'm hoping that for most people, they would realize that, you know, when someone comes shares with you about their experience, whether they're struggling or whether they're embracing their sexuality. I think maybe that first time, because I want people more than anything else is to try to put themselves into that person's shoes. And if that person is opening up to you, it's pretty scary. So maybe for just for that conversation is to affirm that you're going to stick with them. You know, I love you no matter what. And maybe not necessarily following it up at that conversation with a but. Because often what they'll hear then is just the but, and they won't hear the I love you. So
it's funny because in our household, we don't use that. We use and.
Great.
Because the word but means I negate everything I just said.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sorry I yelled at you, but I have a really good excuse for why I did that.
Right, which then it kind of justifies. I love that.
We use the and of I love you and I don't approve of these things.
Yeah.
And I love you.
Yes, at the same time. Yeah. So and I think recognizing their fear and how is this person going to act? You know, are they going to start yelling at me, telling me I'm going to hell or, you know, freak out? I think just if we say, you know what, I love you, can you tell me more? That's another thing. Don't assume when someone says I'm gay, because today our kids use that term maybe a little differently than we would. Don't
what it could
use
mean
that
is,
term.
I'm confused.
I'm
or
confused.
I don't
I'm
know.
Searching. I, yeah. I'm still, I don't know, you know. Or maybe that just means I have these feelings, but I'm not pursuing a relationship. So, first and foremost, I love you no matter what. Second, thank them for telling you because it must have been very scary. Thank them that they trust you. And then I would just say, third, tell me more.
Yeah.
And just listen. And then maybe just pray. And then the next day have the conversation and say, you know, because I believe most of the time people already know what we believe on this issue. Your listeners, Ryan, are Christians. And I don't think they're hiding their Christianity. You know, they, you know, proclaiming Jesus and people know that we are Christian.
Sure.
They look at and they sometimes hold us up on a pedestal, but they probably know what we believe. So maybe what they need to be reminded of is not so much what we believe, but maybe reminded and told verbally, I love you.
Yeah, absolutely. It doesn't mean I'm happy that you've told me this.
No, yeah.
It doesn't mean I accept your behavior.
Yeah, it doesn't mean I'm going to kind of embrace gay relationships.
Right.
It just means I'm going to love you as God loved us. And how does God love us?
And
when we were sinners.
Here's the other thing. This is not easy. I'm not telling the parents that it's easy, that it's going to solve all your problems, that they're going to turn around and change their lifestyle right away.
Right.
It's the right thing to do. It's a journey. It's difficult. And expect to feel devastated. Expect to feel sick to your stomach and overwhelmed and despondent. I mean, all the things that come along with that.
Yeah.
But what you don't want to do is send your kid out the door when they're not coming home and they don't feel like they then can come home.
Because as my mom sometimes says, when parents do that, in actuality, what might be happening is we're actually then pushing them into the arms of the gay community.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And again, parents listening, this is not an easy tightrope to walk. I completely, completely, completely understand. And I'm going to have teenagers. I'm going to have kids that go through troubles because all kids go through troubles. And I'm trying to learn this myself. And I have friends whose kids are going through this thing right now. And I'm trying to figure out as an adult and a Christian who clearly all my friends' kids know what I believe. This is not a surprise when your last name is Dobson. I get it. And so I'm trying to figure out, I have friends who are gay. I have friends whose kids think that they're gay and are in the gay lifestyle. And I need to be around them.
Yeah.
I want to be with them. I want to have a relationship with them. I want to be there if they get into trouble. But it breaks my heart. I got to tell you, it does. It breaks my heart. I went home and cried the other night. I saw some things online and I just thought, it reminded me of how much pain that child is in right now. Clearly, they're distraught and they're going through a lot of tough times and they're acting out in the way they dress and the way they talk and the things that they say because it stems from pain. Or confusion, and that's where parents, it's not easy, but you got to stick with them. You got to stay with your kids and your family. Christopher, Angela, can we do one more day? I want to, we've got so much more of your story, so we're going to quickly get to it in day three because the Lord has transformed your lives and your family. And I know that the people listening who are struggling with this need hope, and I promise you we're going to get to it tomorrow. Can you come back again?
Sure, love to.
Thank you, I appreciate it. Oh, what a powerful story you've been listening to. It's the second part of a three-part broadcast with Dr. Christopher Yuan and his mom, Angela, here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and if you'd like more information about the Yuan's journey or their book, Out of a Far Country, A Gay Son's Journey to God, A Broken Mother's Search for Hope, call us at 877-732-6825 or visit our website, drjamesdobson.org. And when you're online, check out many of the other resources we have available about homosexuality and raising kids. I know my dad's book, Bringing Up Boys, has an entire chapter, it's chapter 9, devoted to the origins of homosexuality in men, and we have many other resources, books, and articles as well on our website. Thanks for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you again next time for the conclusion of Out of a Far Country, right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.